Welcome to episode number 16. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Wafa Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Yes, great day, amazing humans, and welcome to the next fabulous episode of Own Your Thrive. On today is a human that I just even just getting ready for this interview just inspires me greatly, and I guarantee you're going to be thoroughly thriving by the time we finish this interview. She is the founder and CEO of Move the Dial, a global movement that she launched in January 2017 and is dedicated to advancing the participation and advancement of all women in tech. She, leveraging her leadership, wealth of experience, pioneering spirit, and passion for advancing the full talent pool in the new economy, Move the Dial has attracted more than 85 champions and advisors from throughout North America who are leading the way in the technology industry. She's engaged more than 10,000 people through the power of storytelling and is driving substantive, measurable change. So put your ears together for the amazing Jodi Kovic!
Thank you. Joyful to be with you today.
It is. And actually, you know, just to age this podcast a little, it is Good Friday and it's a great feeling to be with you.
Thank you. Gratitude.
So over and above that, Jodi, you are a difference maker. You've been called that. Read that in your book. You are a connector. And I know that you believe in that a lot. You're an instrument of change and evolution, and you're an advocate for creating space and showing there is space for all of us to thrive. And I love that.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for agreeing to be on this podcast.
Delighted to share energy with you today.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to start to use that. So what can you tell us about the brand that is Jodi Kovic?
Well, the brand that is Jodi Kovic. Well, first of all, I'm a mom to a beautiful 11-year-old daughter named Lily. She's the light and love of my life. I am an avid yogi, and I love to spin. I love to cook, and I'm a voracious learner. I love to read. I love to learn new things, and I've always been sort of called to serve my entire life. Even from when I was very little, I started doing active volunteer work when I was 16, but always had an ethos of, in Judaism, we call it tikkun olam, so repairing the world. And I've really held that value dear my entire life. And, you know, I really try to just show up in the world to be the best I can be and constantly improve that version of me every single day.
I love that. And so you use the word ethos, and I've had the pleasure of listening to you speak on a number of occasions. And I remember the first time I was at TD and you used that word. You're wearing a red dress, I remember. And I was like, ethos. I was like, it was truly the first time I had heard that in speech. But I've also heard you use it quite a bit. You just use it now. What does that word mean to you? Because I recognize this so much about your language.
Yeah, thank you. I believe that, you know, we all have an opportunity to choose a set of fundamental values or principles by which we live. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, how was Move the Dial as a movement? And in fact, you know, but from its birth to now, we've probably touched about 65,000 people. You know, I think it's because we were very clear around what our values were, and we tried to live and model those values every day in every way, again and again and again. And that's how I try to function in my personal life. I'm a human. I'm not perfect. I've certainly had, you know, deviations along my journey from those ethos, those core values that I say comprise my ethos. But each time, you know, I've considered those steps a huge part of my growth. And actually, when you come back to that compass and that sort of North Star set of principles, you can come back even more fiercely and with a deeper understanding of who you are and what you have to offer the world. So, you know, that word does mean a lot to me, and it's partially because, you know, I've been through a lot in my life, and sometimes when you go through, I think, a lot of different challenges and adversity, you treasure and hold those special principles and sort of how you choose to live so much more dearly.
To all those that are listening, I would say that if you don't have a guiding principle, have one, because the way you just articulated it, that's a valuable lesson for all of us.
Thank you. So I'd love to share one, you know, I'd love to share one that comes into my mind as I'm looking at your eyes through our Zoom. You know, right now in this moment of uncertainty, and hopefully this will still be very relevant even when we're through this first wave of the COVID pandemic. But one of the core philosophies upon which I live my life is this principle of we always can choose to see lemonade instead of lemons. Always. We always have a choice about our mindset. And it's not to say we won't have difficult and dark days, but one of the absolute keys to success of Move the Dial as a brand and Jody's, you know, my own impact has been that I see the good in things. I always do. And when I don't, I'm really not living in my truth to self. And so while on the one hand, people could look at the situation right now for me personally or for Move the Dial, oh, Move the Dial had to pause and it's so awful and you've been doing great work and that must be so hard and you're a single mother and you're home by yourself and you don't have a job and all the things, right? I actually, you know, I feel every morning gratitude that my daughter and I are healthy and safe, that we have food on our tables, that we live in a country where we have free access to healthcare and a government that's working hard, and that I'm surrounded by the love of family and friends. And so every day we have lemonade as a choice my daughter and I make in our lives to get up an hour after hour through this difficult time, try to find it. And that is a principle on which translated from the pandemic to Move the Dial. When I started Move the Dial, if we talk about the journey story a bit, and you didn't ask me yet, but I know you're going there. That outlook is why I even started. If I ever would have had a cynical outlook, or I don't, you know, I wasn't a woman, a technologist. So maybe I would have said, I don't have the business doing this. I just had this viewpoint and passion that we could create together space for all. And what if I just held on to that hope and that belief and that positivity that it was possible, then that positivity is actually what fueled me to start. And I've never had this conversation with anyone before, actually.
Wow, I feel very special.
But you're bringing it out in me to share with you, you know, that mindset of positivity was absolutely critical to our success and is how I really live my life.
And I think what comes from that for me is, you know, you're demonstrating the value in being a creator versus a consumer, right? A consumer would really just focus on the lemons. A creator makes the lemonade.
Yes. It's a beautiful analogy. And it's, you know, I think for all the parents that are listening out there, you know, if anything, this challenging moment in our history is such an opportunity to teach our children that choice of mindset and that I am no victim of my circumstance mentality, and to learn to create and to make best of what we have. And, you know, if we look at, there's so many analogies to wartime and what our ancestors had so much worse off than what we have. You know, we're stuck in our apartments watching and houses, watching Netflix and, you know, able to eat and able to order food from Amazon and have power and electricity and all these ways to get through it. You know, there's a huge opportunity, I think, for teaching that resiliency that will be critical to the success of our children with all the big world problems that unfortunately we've left them with.
So let's, since we're there, we are in the season of COVID. So first of all, who you hunkered down with?
Yes. I mean, I'm hunkered down with my daughter, and we're in our condo building. We also have a very sweet dog and he's been really a joy. He's been going back and forth between, between us and the woman, Kezia, who helps me with my daughter and my dog, typically being a single mom who works and travels all the time. I feel so lucky to have what I would really call more of a partner in my home with her than anything. And he loves her and really needs her as much as he needs me. So we've been doing socially distanced dog exchanges. forth. And and my daughter will go back to her father on Monday. And one of the things that's been so interesting is, you know, Lily's father and I we've been separate for 8 years, and he's remarried and has two kids, and she's a wonderful woman, Lily's stepmother, and her kids are just perfect little gorgeous beings. And, you know, we haven't spent time together or co-parented in proximity for the last 8 years. Everything's been great and fine, and Lily's gone back and forth, but this crisis has really brought us together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And in Lily's best interests, and really with a view of we're one family and we have the opportunity to support each other, we've been coming together and sharing meals together, mm-hmm. and sort of quarantining as one family unit, mm-hmm. with plans that what if one person gets sick, we can all pitch in. And Lily, you know, I think has really seen that we can choose to see the goodness in humanity and come together when these things happen. All different separated and divorced parents are dealing with this differently, but I'm sharing this specifically in case anyone is wondering. You know, and this was not a situation where we did that before, right? We've been very boundaried and very separate, and to much to their credit and to Lily's and to you know, us as a unit, it's really been a spectacular piece of lemonade out of this.
And that's incredible because, well, one, I think it's demonstrating, you know, how you continue to focus on all that is good and all that is in your life. And that's amazing. But it's what kind of healing can come out of this when we recognize that the playing field has been leveled. Yes. And we're actually all in this together.
Yes. And we always have a choice, you know, in terms of how we treat other people and how we show up in the world. And sometimes when things are really hard, it brings us back to those North Star guiding principles. Mm-hmm. What do we value the most? Mm-hmm. The most, mm-hmm. you know, it certainly isn't my closet full of clothes that I
use. Right? I've been in slippers and sweatpants. And I have not even gone online to look at the latest fashion because it's not that important.
It cares.
So you are known as a connector. And so I love that you share that because obviously that is you're showing how you are growing your connection, how you're healing connections, right? And so, but are you feeling more connected overall or feeling a little stir crazy?
Yeah, interesting you say that. I mean, I am an extrovert, but I'm an introverted extrovert. Mm-hmm. And I actually derive a lot of energy in being alone, which it would surprise many people. You know, I'm in the midst of reflecting on what this moment in time is providing for me. On the one hand, I'm used to operating at an extremely fast pace and normally would have 14 to 18 meetings a day. Including many meals and event appearances. This is a welcome break for me from that, quite honestly, because the pace is not sustainable at that level. And I didn't realize how unsustainable the pace was until I slowed down. So that's one. I actually am finding myself able to connect much more deeply now. I took about a week to grieve the interruption of the operations of the baby and move the dial that I literally feel I grew with my team so lovingly. It was very painful to have to make the decision to pause operations. It was the right and responsible decision in bearing in mind my partners, my team, and my own, you know, ability and what is appropriate under the circumstances of especially being a founder who's also a single mom with a daughter to take care of. I mean, it's all of those things. But so I gave myself a week to sort of grieve how heavy that was and how difficult it was to move into high gear in an emergency situation. First, to make a decision around should we postpone or cancel our summit, which is a huge part of what we deliver to the community and such a treasure. Second, do we move our team to home? And then third, well, wow, this is looking like it's going to be 18 months. Like, how should we handle this? Mm-hmm. So all of that was really traumatic and crisis driven. And then once I came out of that, after the second week, I really focused on connecting deeply with my team. And that was my only priority, my team members. And my daughter, of course. And we connected all day, every day, really wanting to hold space and also enable the connections of those team members to people in my network so that they could land employment opportunities. And, you know, for me, again, like with through this pandemic, we have the opportunity to lead as the humans we are. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a part of me that, like, I built this team from scratch. it was painful, it was hard, it was beautiful. And the last thing I want is for them not to be available when I want to strike up operations again. But as a leader, I value them each as humans more than I value the sum of their parts.
Yeah.
Let's move the dial. So yes. It was important to me to enable each of them not to have to go on to EI if possible, find great opportunities, not only where they would receive money, but where they could thrive. Back to your concept, they could thrive and learn and grow and stretch and be appreciated and safe. Mm-hmm. And when I mean that, to be in cultures where they feel like they could belong and where they could, I knew and trusted the leader to take care of them, even though they were a new employee during this time. So, you know, we've been doing that. Most of them are sorted. It's been bittersweet, obviously, but more sweet than bitter because I know that they're feeling safer and calmer. And, you know, I really saw my team as really a family because we're very, very mission driven. And the culture was one where we care very deeply about each other and our well-being. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a deep level of connection to each of them. And, you know, it's been very joyful to watch them go through the process. And I have definitely felt a sense of pride of, you know, even in a time of crisis for myself, being evolved enough in my own development at this time in my life, where I've been able to show up for them as the leader that I want to be and that I committed to be when I convinced them all to join me, right? And follow. So that's been a deep point of connection. And then last but certainly not least, I've been very selective about where I open my energy. And that is not typical for me. When you're leading a movement and you have, you know, 50 partners, corporate partners, and tons of people you're mentoring and a whole community, you sort of, when people, you know, I had, as I told you, 14 to 16 appointments, meetings a day. Now, what I'm doing is I'm really trying to preserve my energy. But when I open my energy and have a connect, which I'm actually super open, like it's not like I'm, you know, anybody who asks me, I say yes, but I'm just spacing out the time so that when I can connect with someone one-to-one, it's very, very deeply. I'm fully present. I can serve. I'm really being in acts of service right now, however I can serve people that need support or energy or want to go through the analysis that I went through as a founder that's difficult for many founders in the same position.
And so would that be like stepping out of the busyness of life?
Yeah, hugely. Hugely. Okay. And I'm very lucky because I've been able to do that because I have incredible support from people around me who've been coaching me. Including, you know, the CFO for my brother's business, Wealthsimple, who's also my CFO, Lean, and very dear friend, and Chris Liang, who's been the COO for Movida. Like, if I have not seen anything so tremendous as these two humans every single day, meeting with me, calling me, tying up, there's a ton of tasks that we have to do with respect to pausing the operation. And I was so paralyzed, I couldn't even do them. It was so painful emotionally. They're like, Lean just held me up, made the spreadsheet, makes the list. We talk every day. I do two or three little things like that a day. And
until it gets done.
Until it gets done, which enables me to open to the human-to-human connection. Like even looking at you, like when we talked last week, or 2 weeks ago, I wasn't in a great place. And you just, I was able to let you in and connect with you and it gave me energy. And so it's just a very different way of living.
Yeah.
And I feel blessed that I can serve and I feel blessed that I can receive energy and be very present versus just doing the meeting to get it done.
Right. And I love that because I think you're finding value in this imposed stillness that has hit us all. Right. And I think I'm learning from this. I'm learning from you because you know, following this, I might have to do a little bit of how much have I really slowed down? Like, clearly I'm not on the move and the hustle and the bustle, but there's still a way that I feel my mind is working, that my days are kind of full. Like, you know,
I'd love to offer you the structure that I've implemented for myself, which is, you know, you have to start with giving yourself permission to slow down. It's like a permission slip. Dear self, I give you permission to operate at 20 or 30% of your usual capacity. Why? Because we're in a global pandemic and there is fear and there is anxiety and on many levels. Number one level, personal health and safety. Am I going to get germs when I receive an Amazon package or go to the store? Am I okay? Hypersensitivity to our own well-being. Sleep is disrupted. food is very central to, you know, do I have enough food? Will I have enough food? Will we run out of food? Do I have enough money for food? Like, these are all things that people are thinking of that take up bandwidth. Will the supply chain stop? Do I have enough milk and eggs and stuff in my pantry and I can't get enough beans because there's no more beans? Like, it's just, these are things that take emotional energy. Are my immediate family okay? Do I need to send something to my parents or my sibling or my loved one, or, you know, all those pieces, right? And, you know, that takes up a ton of brain capacity. Then the news. The news is a whole other thing. I gave myself permission. I check the news twice a day, morning and night, 10 minutes each. I don't watch the Twitter all day because I can't. I started with it. It was causing me too much anxiety. I had to stop. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, sort of saying, I will give myself permission to be as productive as I can be, but at 20% capacity. So normally if you would do a 2-hour workout, a 10, 15 minute or half an hour workout that feels really good for you is a pretty massive accomplishment given all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Also understanding connecting by Zoom and FaceTime is actually, it can be more depleting. I've read a ton of articles about this. People are exhausted and depleted because the body
takes a little bit more.
Takes a little bit more. So giving yourself permission that that's taking extra energy. And so this idea of, if your normal working day might be, you know, 12 or 14 hours of productivity, whether that's personal self stuff, family care responsibilities, work, passion project, like if it's 14 hours normally, like I think give yourself permission to take that 14 down to 4. Mm-hmm. And then you know, it's like if you expect less of yourself mm-hmm. with love, mm-hmm. not with self flatulation for those mm-hmm, of us mm-hmm. that are highly productive humans mm-hmm. and usually are very busy and are thriving mm-hmm. and just sort of enable yourself to slow down and understand it's just the human condition right now. Mm-hmm. Forgive yes. yourself for your
yes.
very understandable reduced capacity. Mm-hmm. Then when you do the 4 hours or the 4 tasks or whatever,
it feels just as good.
You feel beautiful. I feel very accomplished when I get my laundry done and I've cleaned the kitchen and I've made 3 healthy meals and mm-hmm. I've moved my body for 30 minutes total in mm-hmm. different periods. And I've done 3 work emails and maybe 2 meetings. Like that's coming from, you know, mm-hmm. someone who has historically been operating at 180% for 3 years.
Yeah. So organically, I believe I have done that because I've introduced like meditation, which I wasn't really doing on any type of consistent level. So I've clearly have said no to something to say yes to that.
Yes, yes.
But I do believe that I probably, you know, to your point, take it down some percentages a bit. Yeah, but I find I am being able to sit a little bit more still than I've ever before in my life.
Yeah. Well, everyone else is sitting still, right?
So. Yeah. So getting into Move the Dial.
Yeah.
Okay. In reading about, you know, how it came to be. So if I take you back to 2017, I read about the first event, which happened in January. And around that time, President Trump had just been elected. And in my opinion, not the best candidate that was chosen, but he was up against a woman, right? And then there was the Women's March that brought millions to the US, but also around the world. And then there was also the Me Too movement that was really heightened around that time. So there was need at that time. And I believe the timing for Move the Dial couldn't have been any better. And I believe that that's where some of the success came from. But what I'm always interested in, because what I've observed is with every headline, typically it's in the news for a bit and then it dies down. But I've seen from that Move the Dial pick up steam, continue to keep the headline in focus and the mission in focus. And so what I'd love if you would even just share with me and the listeners is, you know, what enabled that, you know, and what were some of the key ingredients to make that possible?
It's a beautiful question. I think there was sort of 3. One was the way we framed the mission. And I actually worked incredibly hard with a number of friends and advisors on that framing very early on. I think that, you know, an equality or equity based why is not enough to keep a mission like we need to advance all women in tech front and center. And the reason for that is that it really appeals to those of us that have been historically not the beneficiaries of that equity. And particularly, you know, yes, you will have very strong advocates who are women in that case, and in particular women who have come from different particularly marginalized backgrounds. But that leaves about 50% of the population on the sidelines, mm-hmm. because it doesn't, there are some men that I have observed that do feel a moral compass that equity is a reason enough, but it doesn't, for me, hold true as a compelling enough why for men who are on the spectrum of not being driven or motivated to action and spend and time and energy by moral compass. Mm-hmm. So when we were initially formulating, and I'll remember it so clear, I fussed. I spent hundreds of hours on this why. The why for me was sort of the three buckets. Why? Well, of course, the moral imperative. But I framed it like that because it's like we should be assuming that at this stage. And but in this moment, what spoke to so many was we need tech. Everything in our future is tech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And without all the humans, the tech won't be relevant for all the humans. And so therefore, if you want to make the most money and be most relevant, you know, the bias argument, obviously, from a place of moral compass and my own, you know, care about making sure that we don't build bias into tech, that's all part of it. And that came in as a PS. But the piece de resistance is like, actually, we just really need the technology to work for everybody and be relevant to everybody. Mm. And then the urgency was driven by that AI and machine learning piece where it's like, and if we don't fix this problem quickly yeah. together, we're going to code all our biases in and then it won't ever be relevant. Mm. I think that message spoke. And it's so simple. It sounds so simple, but it was very compelling. So that was ingredient one, is like what the why around why we need to move the dial. Secondly, making move the dial relevant to those decision makers who need to do something about it that I just spoke about, but also to the entire community that could benefit from participating was another fundamental, what I would say, differentiator, I think, in terms of our ability to sustain. And it's a journey, okay? That is a forever journey, as you and I have talked about. But, you know, very early in the work, like early, like minute one, taking concept to movement to organization, I thankfully got some really helpful feedback from women who were not identifying with the work that was coming, because it was, here I am, a white, highly privileged, able-bodied person. And at the time I had one other team member and she was also a white person and it wasn't looking like or feeling like a movement that was going to be developed as something that would be relevant for all.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And when I got that feedback so early, it was a huge aha for me and a massive awakening moment in my own journey towards creating a thing. It happened to be a movement advancing women in tech. But a thing, any program, it's relevant for all of us, that would be inclusive in a meaningfully capital I way, and that would enable a sense of belonging for all different types of women. And it was hard, and it is hard. It is a long, lifelong journey for me, as it is for all of us who are of a growth mindset, who are trying to build anything, product, service, community, that is relevant to all. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I was incredibly, and I still am, incredibly fortunate to have amazing friends, advisors, champions, you know, supporters and believers around me who, with grace and love and patience and openness, taught and teach us as event planners, as movement and community builders, what that can look like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the transformation that was always highly intentional as part of our work around how do we become relevant and inclusive for all people, I think has been a huge factor of why Move the Dial attracted so many different kinds of people and why it had the force and staying power because it wasn't just a set of people that looked like and sounded like me talking to each other in an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. It actually was a movement that became owned by and shared by and relevant to all people, yeah. and imperfectly at different times, right? Yeah. We made lots of mistakes. We learned, we grew. But there were some moments along that journey that are very proud for me, mm-hmm. given that becoming a space that was inclusive and relevant and in which mm-hmm. different people felt like they could belong mm-hmm. and share and connect and get something out of it in their own way mm-hmm. became my own personal mission.
Yeah.
Once I became aware of how important that was and how much I wasn't able to do that by myself.
Tune in to episode number 17 for more of my conversation with Jody. So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.